Hey, this is Jenna.
And this is Erin. And we are both doctors of physical therapy.
And this is our Heal at Home Moms podcast.
Welcome. We are going to be talking about pediatric pelvic floor issues. And what that means is, you know, children also can suffer from constipation, leakage of urine. There are several different things that can happen in regards to their bowel and bladder issues.
Because every kid pees their pants, right? Mm-hmm. The question really becomes, I think, as a parent, is understanding when that goes from something super normal to something that you might want to include some intervention.
Yeah. And so signs, let's start with like urinary issues first. So, when you're potty training, you know,
which I hated doing. So I potty trained two kids and both times. I'm like, it's so hard to me.
Bless,
I don't know.
Bless all of you.
Maybe I just had difficult potty trainers.
Well, and what's interesting to me is there's so many different, theories and practices out there to get your kid to potty train. So regardless of the method that you're using to potty train, once your child is potty trained, at usually they don't really look at it until after about 4 to 5 years old.
Yeah.
And then at 4 to 5 years old, they should have more normal bladder control. And that's when we look into things. But here's my little rule of thumb. If your kid is suffering with constipation at newborn, 2 years old, 3 years old, you know when your kid's suffering and not having bowel movements because you're changing their diet or you're changing their diapers all the time.
Yeah. So, and therefore maybe changing their diet to try to help them
changing their diet.
Have more bowel movements.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's extremely important to know that your child may have difficulty with their bowels. And so that even when they're potty trained, you need to be monitoring when they're going to the restroom, which I think is...
Which is harder than it sounds, especially if you have multiple children and they're not with you all day.
Right.
Like when they start going to school, it can get really tricky to keep up with that stuff.
Exactly.
But it's important to do.
Yeah. And so having a potty chart to like where... And some kids are very private. Like I have a couple friends who their kid will scream and shut the door and say, "This is my private time." Like, you know, like... And my nephew is the same way. He's like, no watching me. Like, I'm doing my business. You give me privacy. Which,
like this instinct,
fair enough, kid.
Which is fair. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I understand. I want my private time too. So, you know, mommy's going to shut the door.
Though, moms don't really get that, do they? But we should. I feel like it's a right you should be able to keep.
Having this argument with your child. Like, no, mommy needs private time too.
Yeah, I actually just posted about that where it's like, and...
Yes.
Your kids are in the room with you or you're nursing them while you're trying to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
But
anyway, so as far as bowel issues, with children who have bowel issues, the likelihood of them leaking or having bedwetting issues after they're already potty trained during the day is actually a problem as far as their bladder goes. Because that means they're not emptying their bladder. There's only so much space in the pelvis. And this is true for adults as well. If you're constipated, you can have urgency issues because you're not emptying your bladder because the bowels are pushing up on the bladder.
It's a small space. There's a lot that has to fit in there. So if you're super backed up, it's
going
to press on other things and bother other things.
Correct.
I know I describe to my patients, it's like we, you know, show them the pelvis and you talk about, it's kind of like a really large family fitting into a tiny house.
Uh-huh.
And
they all have to get along.
So if one person is really cranky, what happens? Eventually other people get really cranky.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just what happens. So the same thing's true for the issues, like how, like you said, the example we're giving here is how being really constipated is going to irritate your bladder,
push on the bladder.
Or you're saying that if a kid is constipated, that might be why they're wetting their bed at night.
Correct. Because they have a full space, and the bladder can only take so much filling, and they're not able to empty out that bladder. And so when they relax and when they're sleeping, their muscles are relaxed, everything relaxes.
It all lets go.
And so, and it has to. So it's actually a good thing that they're actually bedwetting when they're constipated, for the simple fact that if it doesn't empty, Which is why punishing your child for, like, there's a lot of things about, like, behavioral issues. They think that the kid's just bedwetting just because, and, like, there's behavioral stuff. And that may be true to some extent, or there's other issues going on in the household that could be causing
leakage. But we're talking about the body
in itself and constipation. So constipation, if you're constipated and not emptying your bladder, if it does not empty at night, when they relax, it will actually regurgitate. So go up into the ureters and back up to the kidneys.
Backflow.
And this causes very life-threatening issues with the kidneys.
Infections,
yeah. Kidney failure, to the point of where the child would need several surgeries to recuperate their kidneys or help their kidneys try to function again.
Yeah.
So it's very, very serious.
So this is not to scare you.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. But it is
to understand that. So I think the bowel and bladder
stuff should be looked at way earlier than what I think we do. We usually wait too long to monitor that if there is an issue.
And it can be challenging because there are different normals. Mm-hmm. Some kids poop twice a day and some kids poop like twice a week.
Right.
And it's like, how do you know what's normal for your kid? And I think like what Aaron's saying is from the very beginning, you kind of get an idea of what their habits are. When they tend to go to the bathroom during the day, did they go? Or, I mean, if your kid, for instance, struggles with constipation, another correlation with that could be like a history of hernia repair, which some of that could have been because of constipation and straining, even at a infant age.
Yep.
And so if you have some of those things to watch out for,
warning signs,
and then your kid is potty trained, but you can't seem to get them dry at night, one of the components to look at is, are they actually constipated?
Mm-hmm.
And on days they have bowel movements, they may not leak the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And on days that they don't, they may leak.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that while we want to help fix the constipation and the bedwetting, of course, I think what Aaron was saying is we want to make sure and remove any shame or fear from that situation, because we don't want them trying not to wet the bed and then just like hold it and never let go, because that can cause bigger issues than just having to clean some sheets.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. So we want to encourage them to, I think a lot of kids have a lot of
fear.
Mm-hmm. I know even for my kids, well, at least one of my kids, potty training, there was a lot of like holding it because of fear of the transition.
Or even playing. Like they're playing and they don't want to stop. They're like, no. And so they hold on. They sense the urge to go to the restroom and then they'll clench and hold because I'm playing. I don't want to get up and go potty. And so it's a defiance thing too. So this is the first thing they learn how to control. The first thing they're in control of.
Yes.
And so, it's okay to give them that control, but also be like, no, if you have to go, you know, we have to go. Like, you know, it's normal to do this.
We will stop what we're doing and we'll wait for you. And that's one thing we do, because otherwise they feel like they're missing out.
Right.
Or one thing because my children do have more of a tendency to hold it forever, which causes issues. We've just started, and I think kids get used to whatever becomes normal.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's not like a you're in trouble thing, but it's hey, before we leave, it's been 2 hours. I'd like you to go potty or we can't go. Like we're going to go to the bathroom before we leave the house.
Mm-hmm. Before you do some fun event.
Yeah. Or we're about to go to this birthday party. Let's go to the bathroom before we go, because once we get there, they're not going to want to
stop. Yeah.
So just kind of being scheduling, a little proactive. Yeah. Doing kind of like we do for adults sometimes too, where a healthy bladder should have to void every 2 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's been 6 hours and your kid's not gone pee, either they're not drinking enough, or we need to make sure and tell them it's okay to let their body relax and go before that 6 hour mark.
Yes. And then also speaking on the bladder habit stuff, if they are going, so a normal bladder for a child from 5 to 12 years old, after potty training and then up to adolescence, they actually have a bladder that completely empties. Adults, like so about 13 on, would be considered post-pubescence and adulthood. They start developing a little bit of residual urine in there, and that's normal. That's a normal bladder to have a little bit of residual urine. You don't empty out completely. But from the ages of 5 to 12-ish, they should be emptying their bladder completely. So if they are going to the bathroom and then needing to go to the bathroom really shortly thereafter or having leakage very shortly thereafter, they haven't emptied their bladder. So they're either holding on, their muscles are tight to where they mm-hmm. are not letting go to empty their bladder. So like a lot of times, like hip tightness can lead to pelvic floor tightness as well. So like them not being able to squat all the way down to the ground, those kind of things, you can kind of like work on some stretches that way, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun.
There's some really wonderful yoga videos on Amazon
yeah.
for kids mm-hmm. that I know my kids like.
And that helps kind of open up pelvic floor stuff too and keep them, because there are just naturally, so some kids are naturally just like high energy or high anxiety or high like a type A personalities.
Yeah.
And you know your kids.
Rule followers.
Yeah. Rule followers, you know. But they have a tendency to have tighter pelvic floors, and that's a really great way to kind of like, okay, maybe we need to learn how to de-stress or compress our muscles mm-hmm. Early on, because that'll set them up for really good habits later. But anyway, if they're going to the bathroom frequently or they just go to the bathroom and then they leak a little bit later during play, they should have emptied their bladder.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. As an adult, like you were saying, mm-hmm. if you go pee and 30 minutes later, you could sit down and pee a little bit more. That's not a problem.
No.
That's totally normal. And that doesn't mean you have to push that last bit out. It's 50 mLs.
25 to 50 milliliters.
Yeah. So that can be normal. But mm-hmm. the point being with kids, like Aaron's saying, that's not true. So those are good things to watch out for. Mm-hmm. And so if your kid is experiencing some of these issues.
Having a little urine in their underwear.
Yeah. You can talk to their doctor or mm-hmm. go see a pelvic floor physical therapist. Mm-hmm. And you can also, in the meantime, work on hydration, because constipation can be because they're not hydrated enough. And by hydration, we really mean water. I mean, I know my kids love juice, but water would be best when it comes to that kind of stuff. I know that we've even had a doctor put our kid on fiber, mm-hmm. Fiber gummies. Mm-hmm. But that's something I'd probably talk to your doctor before you start anything like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do, and there's a titration system that they have specifically for children, and depending on their age and how much they need to be eating versus, you know, things that would soften the stool, things like that. So definitely talk to your doctor about bowel and bladder health. I think this is something that isn't often enough talked about with their pediatrician. Mm-hmm. And maybe the pediatrician doesn't know necessarily all of the things, but you know, just to get the conversation started, and then they send you to a specialist. There are pediatric urologists out there, and there are pediatric gastro doctors for the bowel as well. So if you have more questions, that would be the route to go, because they know a lot more about the titration systems stuff.
And in the meantime, work on hydration, pay attention to your kids' bowel and bladder habits, mm-hmm. Be like a really supportive, encouraging environment for them to help prevent any like fear or tightness from that regard or mm-hmm. shame. It's a tricky thing, especially as the kids get older, because they do have a lot of shame associated with this stuff.
Right.
So we want to be a really nurturing environment. And then stretching programs.
Yeah.
Just do some awesome flexibility stretching stuff with your kids to kind of help relax. And, you know, we also mm-hmm. could do some, if your kid has a lot of fear with going to the bathroom, you could do some sort of nice relaxing mm-hmm. breathing exercise before they go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And this is all information for the typical child, not the atypical, if they have any sensory or low tone, like a Down syndrome, different types of things. So like that is a different ball game altogether. So we can have a discussion about that another time.
Well, hopefully you guys learned some tips for things to watch out for with your children, so that they can have a healthier and happier pelvic floor in their future as well. Yeah. Start them young, guys. Teaching them about their body. So hope you enjoyed today's episode with Heal at Home Moms. And feel free to subscribe and review. That would mean a lot to us. And share with anyone you think might need to know this for their little ones as well. This podcast is part of Heal at Home Moms. Erin and I are two doctors of physical therapy, and we created this online program of exercises and education to help moms heal their own bodies postpartum. You can learn more at healathomemoms.com and save 30% on the program with a discount code MOMCAST30. That's MOMCAST30 in all caps.